All right, let's try this out here. Good morning. It's 7:52 a.m. on Tuesday, September the 21st, 2021. 7:21, 9:21, 21. It's first day of the new mic. I noticed that the sound levels that I got using Dave's rig the other day seemed a lot crisper. They seemed a lot less muddy. At least when it came time to edit it, they looked very, very clean. The crackly spots, I'm not too sure what happens with those. At any rate, I asked him what a microphone it was, and I ordered one. And so today's the first day. It comes with a normal pop filter, but then it has something called a wind muff. And I put the wind muff on it. And we'll see how it sounds. If you can tell the difference, and it's better, good. If you can tell the difference and it's not as good, let me know. If you can't tell the difference, fine. Let's just keep using it. The downside is I have to swap headsets. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. I'm not sure that I'm doing myself any favors by plugging into music for the first while. Maybe what I need is the quiet. Maybe what I need is birds and wind and even traffic noise. It is a cold. It's a cold one. It's not as cold as it's going to be, but it is a cold one. It's 40 something, somewhere in the mid 40s. 42. I think the official grilly temperature right now is in the 30s. I'm wearing multiple layers today. I smartened up after yesterday, nearly freezing my noogies off. So I'm wearing my normal pullover, plus a heavy canvas shirt that's not entirely windproof, but does a good job. And then a fleece hoodie over that, and then the outer shell, a windbreaker on the outer shell. I'm plenty warm other than my extremities. My nose is cold, my fingers are cold. I went to put my gloves on. It was cold enough. I wanted to put my gloves on, and I seem to have lost one. I don't know if it fell out in the closet, or I put it in the wrong coat, or I may find it in one of my hoodies somewhere. I don't know. It's possible it just fell out on the road and it's gone. It's joining all the left socks that I've lost. On the island of misplaced clothing. So, yeah, yesterday's writing did not go very well. In large part because I was highly distracted yesterday. I don't know quite what the problem was. I got back and it just got completely taken over. One of the things that I did was, one of the people that I've noticed lately on Twitter, on the writing community hashtag, I have, because I use TweetStream, what the hell is it? The one with the columns. Tweet. What is it? It's not TweetStream. What is it? I don't know. It's always running, so I never see the name of it anymore. Anyway, I have a column for a hashtag writer's community. And, you know, I try to... There are so many people in there who are trying so hard. And for the most part, they're struggling with trying to do laps in a kiddie pool. And it doesn't really matter how good a swimmer you are. If you're not swimming in a pool that's long enough, that's big enough, it's going to be really hard to do laps. And then there are the people who don't know how to swim in the Olympic-sized pool. And it's like, oh, wow, jeez, dude. Don't do that. So I try to help where I can. I feel funny because I have to kind of take a step back. I made a lot of really bonehead plays when I was first starting out, trying to help people. And you can only help people who really want to be helped. And so there's a certain level of consent involved. And a lot of them will give you consent to help them. But by help them, they want you to sell their book for them. Which, you know, is legit. But look, if you're writing zombie post-apocalyptic prepper fiction, I can point out where you might have better luck in terms of your pricing strategy, in what your market presentation might look like. I can't sell you a book. I can't sell a book I can't read. And I can't read zombie books. I can't read vampire books. Well, I mean, physically, of course, I can. But I mean, so many people, a vampire, oh yeah, we're going to write a vampire story because vampires are exciting and everybody is going to want to read about vampires. And I'm like, why do you think you need a vampire to make it exciting? Vampire, in that instance, vampire is a gimmick. And I'm not dunking on vampire stories. I'm dunking on me. I don't find them interesting. I don't find them amusing. I don't find them scary. I've said before, I lack the horror gene. I just don't get it. You know, it's like, all right, I can read a thriller. I understand a thriller. They're okay. I don't particularly like them that much, but they're okay. I like a thriller once again. I like mysteries. Mysteries are fun because it's an opportunity to kind of pit my wits against the detective and hope that the author follows S.S. Van Dyne's rules of mystery writing. It should never be the butler. There should only be one murderer. Morning. But I can't. You know, it's like... Brian Gamblin did a zombie story. And he said, it's not a zombie story. It's not about the zombies. It's about the people. Well, that's what everybody says. It's not about the zombies. It's about the people. No, it's about the zombies. In Brian's case, yeah, actually. Well, it had a nice twist ending on it. It was a short story. Aggravated me because it was over too fast. But that's a problem with the short story, not with the zombies. Walking Dead. It's about the people, man. No, it's about the zombies. Give me a break. Kind of want to get ready. Stay with me. Come on, post. At least, and this is where it becomes in the reader's eye, or in The Walking Dead's case, the viewer's eye. I don't care. I don't care about the people. The stories aren't enough to make me care. Oh, don't go into the cellar. No, go ahead. You're aggravating. I don't care. It's like, you're going to be ripped apart like everybody else, but you're just too stupid to live. I don't. And the sad part is that I don't even feel that animosity. It's like, yeah, really? Okay, fine. I've always held the position that it's better for you to hate the book than to be meh. I'd rather people hate the book. I'd rather people strongly dislike it. Because at least they're feeling something. It's not what I'd like, but okay. Reading for the sake of turning pages isn't my goal. I don't want readers to say, yeah, okay, I read this book. All right, moving on. So, you know, there's a lot of stories that I can't recommend because I can't even read. They're just not interesting to me. And I'm not gonna... But I can help people when they do things like... there's a person who allegedly has like 10 or 11 novels. But when you look at Amazon, there's only three. There's only one novel and two novellas. I wonder if it's a zombie book. Now, you open up an Amazon author page and you see one zombie book, one zombie novella, one children's story, and a short mystery novel. And you're looking for an author to read. I'm not there. A lot of the people in the writing community, they're really trying to find an agent. They're like counting coups. Woohoo! 200 rejections on a single manuscript. Okay, that's like wanting to see your books on a bookstore shelf. No, you want to see your books sold out on a bookstore shelf. You don't want to see them on the shelf. On the shelf, nobody's bought them. Nobody's reading them. Seeing them on a bookstore shelf doesn't do you any good. It's not really the goal you think it is. And I say that with the full blushing awareness that I used to think, hey, wouldn't it be cool? I could be right there between Mercedes Lackey and Ellie Modisett on the bookstore shelf. And then I came to realize, wait a minute, hold on. I'm already on the bookstore shelf on Amazon between them. Except I'm not, because they don't write space opera. Thank you. But, you know, it's like, I'm not going to poo-poo their desire to have an agent and to be a published author, even though I say it in an amusing tone. I don't mean to deride it. I don't mean it in a derogatory fashion. It would be kind of cool. The cost of it to me is just, it's more than I'm willing to bear. It's a bigger price than I'm willing to pay. At least it's been that way so far. I want to assure you that if somebody comes along and offers me a seven-figure deal, I'm going to at least think about it. Yeah, I said seven. I mean seven. Six-figure deal, I'm going to have to think about. Six-figure deal, and the first number is not at least five. I'm going to have to think about real hard. Because while the short term, the net present value of $500,000 is pretty substantial, the reality is, the way they pay it, I'm not going to see that in any given year. I'd see a third of it. And in the meantime, in those 3 years, I'm not going to be able to earn anything from the new books. I may not be able to earn anything from the old books, depending on the contract terms. That's not a viable contract. Now, if it was my first book, maybe. I mean, Alex White. If you don't know Alex White, look him up. It's worth a look. I met Alex when he did, what was it? Clockwork Heart? I think so. Hell of a writer. Great storyteller. I met at Balticon a couple of times. Now, we had this conversation. What he said to me was that he wanted the brass ring. He wanted to go for it. He didn't want to self-publish it. He wanted to find a big publisher with a good contract and a chance for a movie and, you know, only read M&Ms in his green room. And I don't blame him. And he's well on the way. He's got a couple of highly praised books out. He's writing what he wants. He's writing the stories. He's living the dream. And he made it. So people do make it eventually. But he's a young guy. He could take the time. He could take the risk. It was a risk. Not only a risk he was willing to take, it was a risk he wanted to take. And I can't fault anyone for wanting to take that risk. Sometimes it does pay off. People do win the lottery. I wish him well. I wish I could read his books, but because they're trad-pubbed, off my table, not happening. But if you like the guy and you like his books, why aren't you buying his? Because they're trad-pub. And he doesn't need my 47 cents added to his quarterlies. Well, for not having anything to say when I got started. I sure found a lot of words on the way, just laying there on the sidewalk waiting for me to pick them up and spit them out. It's a beautiful morning. Fall's coming. I am at the back gate. Just looking at the yellow trees around. There's a few. There's not a lot. There's still a lot of green. But it won't be long. So yeah, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.